Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
And the Bulldog...
Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
On WGR.
We can take these steps and show the country that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long. And we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Sports Radio 550.
Starting to get close to first pitch. Should I have my glove? I don't have my glove.
I think you're okay.
I had a difficult time deciding what to wear. Like 70 at game time, that's perfect. Shorts, though, you might get cold, like by 9 or so. You might. Mm-hmm. I went jeans, but all day.
Are you in a sunny spot? Like, where are you sitting?
It's behind third, I guess. So, I don't know. The sun would set behind the ballpark, right? Behind home plate.
I'm trying.
No, that's not right.
It's been so long since I've been in there. I don't know what side is sunnier. I think third base is the sunnier side.
Well, you know, you're facing the lake, even if it's on an angle. Are you facing south? Ballparks face east, like from home plate out, so that the sun isn't in the batter's eyes. Mm-hmm. But maybe ours is different. Actually, that isn't facing east. Anyway, I don't have my glove.
Okay.
And I have pants on. And I have a jersey. I thought this was an occasion for a jersey tonight.
All right.
What do you think? Yes?
Sure. Yeah, I'll allow it, even at your advanced age. What do you, did you pull Halliday out?
Halliday. I have one Toronto piece of clothing, yep. Halliday. It's at this point in time, and maybe for all time, it remains an excellent representation. Like, you know, you buy a jersey, lots of things can happen. The guy just isn't good anymore, messes up off the field, any sort of reasons you might have for not wanting to wear it anymore. He goes to free agency and signs with the – he's Johnny Damon. Like, he signs with the Yankees or something. Right. I can't wear my Johnny Damon Red Sox jersey anymore, for instance. I mean, I don't mean me, but – because I don't have one of those. Halliday, though, yes, he went to pitch for Philadelphia, but that was not offensive to the Blue Jays, like to the fan base or anything.
It's just kind of what happens to big moneyed star players in Toronto eventually. In baseball, anyways. Yeah, they leave. They go somewhere else. Yeah,
and of course, he passed away a few years ago, Roy Halladay, Hall of Fame. I'm very proud to wear it.
Yeah, it's a nice-looking jersey.
I won't be the only Halladay in attendance tonight, even at a reduced capacity, right?
I bet that's correct, yeah.
It's funny, like it's... It's not our team, you know? If it's a a Buffalo, like the Sabres, some sort of equivalent, and it's our team, everybody's in jerseys, and it's just like we're super ramped up to root for them. This is I'm wanting to get behind the Blue Jays. Like the fact that it's not the Buffalo Blue Jays is sort of whatever. I mean, I don't root for another team, so this isn't in my way. Rooting for Toronto, they're here to to whatever extent I would need it necessary. They want to be here. Like it's fine. I'm fine with all of it, and I'm happy to root for them.
I have, since this was announced, I have had the thought, I don't know, whenever I think about baseball, I think like, oh yeah, the Blue Jays are going to be here. I want to root for the Blue Jays. I want to follow the Blue Jays. There's absolutely zero follow through on that thought. Like I have not done, I mean, to the extent, I mean, now I don't have tickets yet. I do hope to get some eventually if this goes on long enough. So I think I'll rectify that. But as far as, like, you know, I'm not checking the results. I'm not looking at the standings. I'm not even doing this for Boston anymore either. Like, I'm just not doing it, period. Like, maybe every 10 days or so, I think, like, oh, let's check. Oh, Tampa's better now. Okay.
Yes, I know.
Tampa's got a better record than Boston. That's it. Like, that snuck up on me. I didn't realize Boston wasn't even in first place anymore. And, like, so when I look at the standing, I still don't even think about Toronto. And I don't know. I'm failing at becoming interested in the Blue Jays. Like, it makes sense. I want to do it. I tell myself I want to do it, and then I just don't do anything. I don't even do the bare minimum, which is like look at a box score or check the standings to see where Toronto is. It's lazy. It's embarrassing.
Well, look,
but
here,
I just haven't. It's making a habit like that takes time. Like you need some incentive to do it, other than just hey, there's a team playing in my city this year. I guess is what I'm finding out because I so far have not dived in at all.
Do you think, so we've talked about this kind of thing many, many times over the years about our lives. You know, we're sort of, you're less interested in the Red Sox, a team you always loved, once they win. Just the way there's so many more options. You get into soccer instead. Other sports come along, 10 times, 100 times more TV channels and just different activities. Your kids grow up and they're not there and you did this with them. All the different reasons why your taste might change. One of them for me is, with baseball, with hockey, we just made this point talking about the Maple Leafs. It's just not as impressive to me to win a championship as I grew up thinking it was. It was two different things at least. One is that, I mean, everybody tells you that. Players all tell you that. Media, who are often ex-players, all tell you that. The winning is the point. The championship is the point. And I don't like dispute that. I know that that's right. But it's just that the format and the what we've learned about sort of how random it can be and the way it's changed. Sports are always changing for more playoff teams, more rounds. Last year, I mean, it was pandemic related, but what? 16 teams made the baseball playoffs last year. I mean, in my life, it was always four.
Right.
If you're older than me, it was two. It was American League, National League, World Series. Like, the World Series would just mean more. It would just be harder to make it. None of these wild card teams would just get lucky and win the World Series. And you know, you could think, like, clutter the whole thing. Just sort of diminish the achievement. It's not exactly diminishing the achievement. It's just, with hockey, like, with the Sabres, I was always told that they had a flaw, that they had character flaws, that they had, there was something wrong with the Sabres, just like it is with the Leafs right now. There's something wrong with them. If they can't beat the Bruins, or they can't beat the Canadiens, or even the Nordiques, all those years, there's something wrong with them. And that might be true, but it doesn't have to be true. You're playing Boston and Montreal, like you're playing elite franchises, and it's puck luck, and it's still going six. Like, I don't know. I used to just buy all that, and now I don't buy any of it. Now I just don't think there's a problem with your team. There can be a problem with your team. You'll say about me, I think, that sometimes I won't accept it.
Right.
Because, no, I mean, this is what you're saying, but...
Because there's no proof. Yeah, I mean, you can't...
Right. I mean, often, so...
It's like, anecdotal. It's not science. Yeah,
right. It's just sort of like, well, why does that have to be right? And sometimes I'll go too far, but it's just, like, not as compelling to me who wins because of all of that. And so I'm not checking the standings either, because I don't care if the Blue Jays... Right now, I don't care if the Blue Jays make the World Series. Like, that doesn't really matter to me. I want to go there tonight and sort of enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And if they get into the playoffs, maybe they win a round first or something, then I'll be like, okay. That happened in 2015 when they beat Texas in those two seasons. I was very into that. Like that happened. But wasn't something I think that in June I was caring about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I mean, the way you've been talking for years, I mean, baseball is you know, I don't know how much of it is necessarily luck and randomness, but, you know, you play a one game to decide who gets to be the wild card, and you can win that. And then you have a five-game series, and like it's not always going to be the best team, and that hurts it, right? I mean, because you kind of don't necessarily feel like having an excellent record all year is going to be an indicator of any kind of success. I mean, as far as the postseason goes, because again, you're going to run into a hot pitcher or something or whatever, and it does change it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not thinking about any of that really. I'm just out of the habit. That's what that's what happens. Habits change, and for me, watching baseball and paying attention to baseball, I knew it was happening. I allowed myself to sort of drift away from it, and I'm having a hard time finding my way back. Like, I don't know, maybe going to a game will change that in some way. Probably not, though, because that'll just be a nice time sitting outside having a beer with some peanuts in it, of course.
I'll tell you if I find that anywhere tonight.
And that'll be that. Well, I don't know that you don't look too hard.
I'm not really allowed to walk around, I think.
right. So like I don't know, like I don't think I'm dead and buried as a baseball fan, you know. I hope to live a right long time here still, but I don't know. I don't think I'm ever gonna be like I've been. Like you know this about me. Like even the Red Sox winning the last two times they won was like, okay, this is cool. I'd rather you win than not, but I don't know. I'm not really feeling anything. I'm just watching it. And that was, you know, when that happens, I want to know why. And if I can't figure out why, I might just accept that it's not as important to me and move on. And that's it. That's what I've done with baseball and particularly the Red Sox.
Do you remember it this way? So when, I don't know, this is like 25 years ago when baseball added more teams and more playoffs, wild card, all the stuff we're talking about, like that all started to happen. And you probably like knew people who would criticize, like they sort of sound like this. They'd be critical of it, like, oh, it's not how it used to be. But maybe even before that, it would be because of free agency. Mm-hmm. And how in all sports, eventually, like free agency would mean that teams were, it was all different from that. It was like before free agency, not that this was a good thing, you know, in terms of like real life, but you were sort of stuck. The player was stuck on the team for as long as the team wanted. Like,
right.
That's not how the world should work, but that's how sports was. And sports might have been better for it because that sort of the connection would just grow deeper between players and fans. And then, you know, so now everybody's moving around all the time, and not everybody. Some guys still do that for you, but a lot of guys don't. And they're just, you can think of a bunch of hockey players who are like on a different team every year or two, right? Mm-hmm. So That sort of randomness too is sort of messes with me, and I never thought I would line up with, yeah, it's not as good because of free agency, but I sort of do feel that. I sort of like I want to just it's great when you have what the Blue Jays have now, and what the Bills kind of have now is young players, or you can imagine them being there and good for a long time.
The core seems like it's in place. And yeah, you'll see how long it goes. You know, like, do you find success with that core? Do a couple of failures mean do you have a flawed core? So you got to move a piece out and try to replace it with something else and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that connection, you know, I suppose, you know, when we're kids and like we know like the entire Reds or Dodgers lineup or their infield, certainly, you know, that you're a kid, it's different. But there is, you know, there was a repetitiveness to it that like sort of drew you in. Like the same guys are in the same spots for a very long time. And now I'm at a point where, like, if you quiz me, like, who was playing where on the 04 Red Sox, I might get some guys right, but I don't think – I'm not confident at all that I would get, like, the lineup that played the most games for them or the lineup that, like, started game, you know, the game four of the World Series against the Cardinals when they won. I don't know. Like, I don't have it, but I still can tell you about Davey Lopes and Davey Concepcion and the Reds and the Dodgers from when we were little kids. Like, that's ingrained. It's there. It's like it's printed permanently in my brain somewhere. And stuff that's happened when I've been an adult is not indelibly there like that. It's just not.
Yeah, those two teams ran out the same infield for like 5 or 6 years in a row.
Yeah.
And we're good rivals, and like you're just not going to forget that. It's just I think it's all just natural. It's just sort of life. You know, we've got,
yeah,
you've learned of a lot more things since then. Something's got to go. A lot of these lineups have to just move out of your brain as you get older. Other people's names, all those passwords you have to remember.
Right.
You're not going to remember much about the 06 Tigers eventually. You're just going to forget that.
Right. It's going to get crowded out. Yeah.
You just can't. There's just no way to remember everything like that. Here is Mike with us. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Getting back to your hockey stuff, and I know, Bulldog, you've talked about the NHL being a garage league for years, but do you realize that 17 out of the 18 top-paid NHL players are no longer in the playoffs?
Yes,
I've saw
I heard that. Price is the lone double-digit salaried player still alive in the playoffs. Yeah.
Right. I saw a video last week of Connor McDavid in the against Winnipeg, and they showed 30 plays where he was either mugged, hugged, tripped, mauled, whatever, hooked, and not one penalty was called on any of the 30 plays. And it just, you know, it's the only league that just, for whatever reason, will not let its stars be stars, will not try to put more offense into the game. I mean, every other sport, there's ways that football and basketball and baseball, and they've all tried to do something to inject offense into the game, and hockey just has this inability, especially in the playoffs, to let their better players do well, succeed, and make the game more popular. And it just becomes so difficult to watch because game in, game out, the stars aren't stars.
Yeah. True. I think some of that is built into the sport, but some of that could be controlled better.
Yeah. I think largely that's it's almost irrefutably true. But as Mike is talking there, I'm thinking about Colorado. And, like, MacKinnon should be making as much as anyone in the league. He's just not. Like, you know, good for Colorado, bad for MacKinnon. You know, he signed his contract when he did, and so he's relatively a bargain considering the level of player he is. Those guys on that team don't have any trouble getting off, it seems. I mean, Cale Makar, almost every time I watch him, it doesn't always result in a goal, but he does something that I'm like, whoa, look at that. And they put 7 up on Vegas in the game one of that series. So, you know, I guess I'm pointing to the one exception maybe. But largely I think it's correct. Like I didn't feel like Matthews, Marner, Nylander, you know, the whole group in Toronto were getting manhandled physically by Montreal. So I don't know that I would agree with that if that's where, you know, you're heading. But like overall, I mean, it's definitely true. The big stars, the high salaried players are not in the playoffs. I mean, you got one in Buffalo making $10 million a year that hasn't sniffed the playoffs in 6 years.
yes, it's all fair and fine, but when it was like there were times we felt the star treatment was holding us down because, oh, no, the league wants New York. The league wants this team. That's 20 years ago, too. And it seemed like there was some truth to that. Not that it was a, you know, fixed, but just we've also been on the other end of that. You want it to be just you want the calls to be right. You don't want it to come down to who's making the most money. You want it to not be like that. You want to make sure it's not like that. But we also want to watch. If we don't have a team here, and I don't care who wins, like, I'm just going to root for the best players, right? Because that's more enjoyable. I don't want to watch a team that's going to just grab everybody. Anyway, so a lot of that stuff sort of conflicts with each other, but it's true. Most of the best players in the league are out. Of course, a quarter of the league is out.
Right.
So but it shouldn't be all of them that are still playing when you're down to eight. All right, the update is next. We'll see what the latest is around the NFL. Bills made an interesting salary cap move today, perhaps to free up space to acquire one of the bigger names who could come free here now that it's June 1st. We'll see what we know and get back to you. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In current surrounding talent, not even probably, they definitely have the better offensive line in New England. They have the better running game. They have excellent tight ends. Miami has better receivers, but you know, I certainly think that whether it's a healthy Cam Newton getting back to not his MVP form, but a better player than we saw last year, or probably one of the best case scenarios of a caretaker rookie situation with play action, a running game, two tight end sets all the time. They're going to be able to minimize some of the potential flaws in Mac Jones.
Greg Thompson, Cover One with Joe on Friday. Joe was on noon to three, Memorial Day weekend. Welcome to June. On Cam Newton, by the way, I was thinking about him earlier. Aaron Schatz was scheduled to join us today. We asked him to reschedule to tomorrow, and he was fine with that, so he'll be on tomorrow. Anybody that I think might have like a qualified opinion here, I want to know what they think the Patriots' expectations are for Newton. Like, it's just always sort of the point I make on him is that they did it. Like, that's a team, mm-hmm. That's a serious organization that you know isn't, you know, in some sort of long-term mode here where they're just going to kick back this year and lose their games, right? Like, they're not one of those teams. Right. They're not at that point, and they're not one of those teams. So, they re-signed. Y'all saw the same thing they did. They saw the same thing you did, I should say. What do you think they expect from him? Because I don't know why they would bother. There were other choices if they thought it was going to look like last year. You know, I just think they have reason to think it will not look like last year.
They might even know, if you can know this, that more than anything, COVID messed him up. I mean, he did get sick. And I don't know how severe that was. Maybe they would know. And you know, maybe he wasn't ever really physically all the way back even after that. So you know, that could be one reason to bring him back. You know him. He knows the offense at this point. And it is at least, I don't know, I think, despite what I just said, which could be right, the COVID thing could be a factor in them, like thinking he'll be physically healthier, he'll be better because of that. Not being, having gone through it again this fall like he did last fall. But my feeling on them is they've drafted Mac Jones. They're hoping that Mac Jones can prove to be an upgrade even from Cam Newton, healthier, and that if that doesn't work, they at least have Cam Newton. Like, you wouldn't want to just expect a rookie to come in and do it and be up to it, maybe especially because you drafted him at 15 instead of at 5 or something. So, but what are you hoping for? Like, I think the best case scenario for them is he wins the job because he's better than Newton. And that would be the one thing that would give me some pause about them. Otherwise, I think if Newton plays, I'm still expecting him to be flawed. It's not just been last year with COVID. He's had other health issues that have cost him seasons, at least of high-level play. So, but I think it's more, at least we've got an option if the rookie isn't up to it.
He is one of the most interesting players in the league for me. Yeah, I mean, if it's over by August, then okay, I guess that's, I mean, just release him if that's not too much of a penalty with the cap. I don't know. But I think they always deserve some benefit of the doubt here, those people. Eric, speaking of, we don't have any Julio Jones news. We don't have any Zach Ertz news. I don't know about anybody, like, prominent where anything's happened, except the one thing with Joe. Joe's prominent since 4 o'clock. I'm not sure you know this about Joe, this
what
latest
is Joe,
news.
What's going on with Joe?
Sneaky Joe, our old trusty friend and cohort, got an invite to the Scott Fish Bowl. Look at you.
I'm in.
Look at you.
It was a nice surprise this afternoon to see that.
Yeah.
What?
It's great news for me.
For on behalf of, 98% of the people listening, what the hell does that mean?
Sorry, I was taking a drink of coffee. Just what I should be doing at 5:40. Drinking coffee.
Well, you got a ball game to go to. You're going to have some beers, so you need to,
I could see it.
Have the caffeine. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this week in beer, I have to be careful already. Tonight, already by, yesterday was Memorial Day. I'm going to 5 games this week. 2 in Buffalo and then 3 in Missouri. And, I mean, I'm going to want to go to that brewery tour in St. Louis. Uh-huh. And, my wife knows somebody in St. Louis, and she said to me, if you want, I'll ask Lisa for some recommendations. Like, sure, great, ask Lisa. She comes in with like 20 pubs, breweries, just this is going to be bad. I mean, great.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I'm sorry, Joe, for making this about me. I didn't mean to make this about me. But I got to be a little bit careful this week.
Throw some peanuts in the beer.
No. Yeah. I don't have any plans to do that. Maybe I'll do that in St. Louis and see if anybody says anything. Is that something that they would have never seen before? Maybe they all do it. I don't even know what to expect. The Scott Fish Bowl, the biggest fantasy league in the world.
All right.
14. What is it? I always trip on this. Is 1,400 or 14,000 teams?
Ooh, I don't know. They both sound right to me.
14,000.
I don't even have a guess.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not that number. I don't know. It's tons. It's thousands of teams.
Huge. It's a huge. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And Scott, he's a giant in fantasy, in sports. He put this together, Scott Fish. He's been on the show. He's hoping to have him on again in the next couple of weeks. He put all this together to raise money for kids' charities. So nobody pays to play. And the biggest names in fantasy, like Matthew Berry and all those guys, they all know Scott. And they all play, and a lot of them donate. A lot of these sites donate memberships and subscriptions and prizes, and that's what you get. Like, that's what's on the line.
Cool. Uh-huh.
But it's all for, like, Fantasy Cares is the website,
yep.
And all different ways he raises money through it and from it. But he invites like thousands of people to play, and Joe is one of them.
This was the first year I applied for it too. I just threw an invite in, like, just to see what happens. And I didn't expect much because I've heard other people waiting years to get into this league. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And then, boom, there it was.
Well, just today.
Your place of prominence on this show and at the station, I think, probably played a part in that.
Locked On.
I think, yeah.
Plus
yeah.
Locked On.
Right.
Yeah, there was a slash in there.
So if there are 14,000 or 1,400, whatever, who do you play? Like, how do you win? Like, what is it divided up into, like, a bunch of divisions? And like,
yes,
what,
divisions,
how does it work?
Divisions, 12-team
are,
leagues.
And they're themed. They're themed divisions, right? So, like, this year, Mike, you could speak to this more because I know you've been in it already with this, but this year was you had to, when you were filling out your information, you could list two preferences for your division, and you were to list a band or an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could list any band or artist that you wanted. And then, like, okay. So one of my two I put was Guns N' Roses.
Oh. Did you put that in your bio, that you picked Axl Rose first overall
singer
draft?
I didn't. That might automatically qualify me for that, though. But so, like, there will be a Guns N' Roses division, potentially.
Right. You'll get to pick.
Right.
And you might get what you want. That's right. So it's a big tournament. I mean, you've got to come out of your division, and then you go up in the playoff weeks. The odds get stupid. Like, you're going to have to beat 20 people and then 20 more people and 20 more people to get to the end. I haven't done that. I mean, I've made it to the playoffs each of the last, 2 years or three? I don't even know. But I've never won big in it. Hey, by the way, quick fantasy thing. So Joe was in a draft and he was in a spot where he was expecting, and he was fine with it, to draft Trey Sermon, the Ohio State running back who the 49ers drafted. A lot of people like that because San Francisco has been so good for running backs. You do have to know which one they're going to use, which is annoying, but it seemed like a great landing spot. But in Joe's draft, Travis Etienne was available when it came time for him to pick, and he picked Etienne, and I just thought I would ask, would you always do that? Would you all right now, I mean, of course, we're not into the season yet, but would you always prefer Etienne to the 49ers guy, Sermon?
I don't know. You don't. You shouldn't be sure at this point, I don't think, how ETN is going to be used either. You know, with James Robinson there, and
So I don't know.
I it's not an area of great expertise for me, but my initial reaction would be I'm not sure what you would do there. What has San Francisco done? I mean, I know Breed is not there anymore. He wasn't even there last year. And McKinnon is gone from there now, too. So what are they left with at running back?
They signed your boy Wayne Gallman.
Yep.
They
lost Jeff Wilson. Wilson had a huge game against New England. He had 3 touchdowns at New England, but he's hurt.
Yep.
Not for the whole year, necessarily, but he might not. He's not going to start the year.
He's going to miss 4 to 6 months, so he'll miss the start of the year for sure.
So Gallman's relevant, I think.
Yeah.
Mostert is relevant.
They have another rookie.
Eli Mitchell. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just a mishmash of guys.
Yeah, right. But kind of like it's been, just new names.
But I didn't have time to think much about that pick because I never thought ETN would fall to, it was the 12th overall pick in a rookie draft. And that's probably pretty rare, I think, for him. I mean, he's a first-round running back. Like, those guys normally go right at the top. But I think people are just selling on the idea of ETN because you just don't know what position he's going to play.
I think there's probably a buying opportunity because of that.
I think so too.
He's still great. He was great. Like an amazing, an all-time great college player. They're not bereft, Jacksonville. There's got to be some value in him. But I know what you're saying. Like, I'm sort of careful too. I'm going to be careful.
Two thoughts crossed my mind. One was like to not do it. One was, will he lose running back position eligibility at some point, because I'm drafting him to be a running back. That team I had did not need a wide receiver. So if a year goes by and he is still a wide receiver, well, that's going to stink. And two, which also was pretty illogical, I think, to not pick him, was how many goal line touchdowns does Tim Tebow siphon off?
Oh,
that
my.
Offense?
Just.
So then I just said, nope, that's dumb. I'm going to pick him. And I picked him.
Welcome to the Scott Fish Bowl. I choked on the numbers. It's going to be 1,440 teams.
Okay.
Divided up in 120 divisions of 12. That's what he's done before. So that's 1440 make it. I think that's pretty good. He's got
still it's a big number, yeah.
Yeah. Many more thousand apply. Joe got the call. Good for Joe. See you there, Joe. My niece too.
Your niece too.
Yeah, she's in.
All right.
She got an invite. Jenna.
I didn't know I could have put her for celebrities or media you wanted to be in a league with, because that was another spot.
Jenna,
that fell out.
You could have put Jenna for that?
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to. Do we have Paul?
Paul
we,
at six.
We think Paul is coming up. All right, that's good. We'll talk about the playoffs a little bit with Paul. The Blue Jays and Marlins from Salem Field, 7:05. I'm headed there from here. Can't wait. Talk a little bit more baseball, too, before we're done. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's a huge honor to be one of the two guys that are still around from before McDermott and Bean got here. I think just for them to show their trust and belief in me to keep me around for a couple more years, that speaks volumes to me. I told Coach and I told Bean yesterday how much I appreciated that out of them. With as much roster turnover as we saw the first couple years when they were in here, 17, 18, and some of 19, it feels good to be a part of it for this long, definitely.
That is Reed Ferguson in a media call from Friday. He became the NFL's highest paid long snapper. And he sounds very grateful. It's a good way to be. That is a good way to be right there. So, little note on the Leafs losing. It's now 17 years since Toronto has won a round. They've lost in the first round of the last 5 years, and before that, there were years of not even making the playoffs, you remember. Mm-hmm. I should be able to tell you whose work this was, and I don't have it. They outscored Montreal 18-14 in the series. What is that, 58% in that territory, becoming that's one of the highest percentages for a losing team in NHL history. It might not sound like it. Does it sound like it? Like if you outscored a team 18-14, would you think that that would be sort of, it would be shocking that you would lose?
No, it's that to me, that's close enough. I don't think that was very telling, I guess I would say. Like, it's not, to me, like, oh, my God, how did you lose?
Right, like, right. Yeah. But it is in the 99th percentile for that, for advantage percentage-wise, advantage in goals, mm-hmm. the goal share, despite losing the series. One of the very few series above it is a series you watched. Did you see my tweet about it?
I saw your tweet about this earlier, yes, okay. Right.
The 75 semis, Sabres Canadians, Buffalo 1-6, Montreal outscored the Sabres 29-21. The Sabres outshot the Canadians in that series, I checked, but were outscored. The goaltending difference apparently was pretty stark. In fact, the two games in the middle of that series at the Forum in Montreal, the Canadians won 7-0 and 8-2. Mm. Do you remember that? What did that feel like?
No, I don't. I don't remember that at all. In fact, it's been some years ago now that I know that. Well, see, now I'm getting tangled up again. I think for a long time I thought Danny scoring that overtime goal was the series clinching play or something, but it's actually, is it game one maybe? Of the series. So what I'm telling, I'm going a long way here and admitting that I'm still tangling myself up about a detail about that series, is I don't have great recall of the entire thing.
I think it is game one.
Yeah. So, I think one time on the air many, many, many years ago, maybe the first time I ever talked about Danny being my favorite with you, was him scoring that goal to send the Sabres to the finals is probably how I said it. And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, that was game one. Yeah, okay. Okay, I was 10. Cut myself a little slack. I don't remember how I felt at 10 watching them lose by those scores in the Forum.
Okay. They also won game 5 in overtime. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure which of those games is that Gergel, but they won by 6-5, 4-2, 5-4, and 4-3. And they lost by a combined 15-2. So there's your goal differential.
But I'm almost sure the 6-5 is the Danny goal.
Okay, that'd be game one.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hear about that Sabre team, it's before my time, as, like, that was the best team. It's just, like, the Flyers were just too physical and goalie was amazing. But, you know, they did get badly outscored in the semis by a Montreal team that had the same point percentage or winning percentage in the regular season as did the Sabres. And, you know, it's not a shock to the senses that a 70s Canadiens team would have been great.
Right, of course.
They won the next four cups.
Yeah.
They lost this series to the Sabres. Despite that advantage, they did not lose another postseason series until 1980.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's Hall of Famers all over that team.
Yes.
Yeah, that team was jacked.
And you know who one of them is? That it's not who you're thinking of by saying that. Glenn Sather.
Get out.
He scored a goal in that series for Montreal, actually.
I don't remember him as a player at all.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, neither do I, but I got it right here.
That blows my mind.
Glenn Sather is one of those Hall of Famers who, I mean, I don't know the Hockey Hall of Fame that well, but come on, LaFleur, Mahovlich, Lemaire is probably in the Hall of Fame. Cornwallier may be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. Is Steve Shutt in the Hall of Fame? Yes. Larry Robinson for sure. Gainey.
Serge Savard.
Maybe
Andre
Savard.
Richard,
Henri
Pocket
Richard.
Rocket,
Dryden.
Ken Dryden.
That's 10.
Good God.
That's 10 at least.
Right.
Just who played in the series.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I did not know Glenn. I guess I'm not blown away that Glenn Sather was a hockey player. I just did not know him from, you know, his career, and certainly not as part of those Canadiens teams.
Right on, but there he is. All right, Paul Hamilton next. The Sabres. The Sabres, what was I going to go with that? The Sabres what, Mike? The Sabres have the best odds in the lottery tomorrow, don't they? Or are they below Seattle? I don't know.
They have the best. They have the best odds.
Okay, there. I could have gone there with it. Thought of something. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Paul next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.